Welcome back. My next guest is the always entertaining and informative Nestor J. Aparicio. Nestor, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you? Are you well tanned and well rested?
I
mean,
man,
where
I'll
are
tell
you?
You what, I'm still feeling the buzz from being away in Greece for a few days, and it was phenomenal. I'm trying to
You know
hold
what? You
on
look
to
like
it.
you've been in Greece for a few days. It's what
I'm
you look
trying to
like.
hold on to it. I ate so much octopus, I think I'm growing tentacles, extra appendages and whatnot. So it's a lot of fun, man. Glad to be back, though. Glad to be back. And my goodness gracious, between the Orioles, the Ravens, it's just a great time to be a sports fan in the city.
I'll tell you what, I had plans. Literally, this segment we're doing right now, we would not have done. I was supposed to be out in California with my family. I was going to San Diego and LA and going to the Hollywood Bowl to see the Quincy Jones thing, which is a bucket list thing for me, the Hollywood Bowl. I banged the trip. My mother's birthday. It's been a busy week. My wife got sick. I went down to see Tommy Conwell in Dewey Beach and did it down and back when I thought I was going to lay on the beach. And so all of these weird things have happened in the last couple of weeks, but the Orioles and game starting at 6:40 and game starting at 6:05 and them being on the road and now coming home here with this Yankees thing in first place. And then the Odell Beckham and the Lamar Jackson and Luke's out here and Luke's over there and they won't let me in. So Luke has to do double duty and I'm never going to let that go because it's not cool. But the Philadelphia trip, like everything that's happened here feels a little bit memorable. These series in a season where it feels like we're going to play postseason baseball, that you'll look back and say, man, they really took a dip that series with the Twins before the All-Star break, but then they picked it up, right?
Right.
And then they went to Yankee Stadium and cleaned clocks, and then the All-Star break,
Tampa
and they started
Bay,
cleaning
and
clocks again, and
now
now
the Phillies.
all of these are, the series are kind of like a Ravens game. It just takes 3 days to play it, like a cricket match,
Man,
right?
I tell you, I've watched more baseball this year than I can ever recall, Ness. And again, thanks to guys like you, I'm all in. I love the
Well, there is
team.
a
And
point where we've kept the flame flying, whether you hate me because of politics, sports, the Ravens, the Orioles, free the, whatever it is, the bottom line is everything I ever did to oppose Peter Angelos was on behalf of the fans, like on behalf of listeners, customers, sponsors, friends, baseball fans, my family name, on behalf of my father, to say, this is what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah,
And
it
even
is.
when you're not in first place and you're not winning, because this isn't a great year for the Red Sox or the Yankees, right? We'll see plenty of Yankees fans here this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Into their team and thinking there's going to be a turnaround because they believe they can win. I mean, part of the issue is, you know, as long as you've been at Coons Baltimore Ford, as long as I've been here 25 years this week, how many times do we really believe we can win? Let alone knowing we can't win. Like, literally, I've owned the station 25 years. And the weirdest thing, Dennis, is 96 and 97 is not included. We didn't get in here until 98. So in 98, taking over the radio station in 25 years, we've had four seasons in 25 years where it's even been reasonable. There haven't been years where they've been 500 or just missed it or hung in or did well and fell apart. We're just talking about, like, sham seasons. Decades. Two
Decades.
decades
No,
of sham
decades of
seasons.
decay.
Sham seasons.
Yeah, decades of decay and apathy. And I've used that word a lot when it comes to describing this organization. They've been very apathetic, in my opinion, with
This
the
is how
city of
good it could have been
Baltimore.
all along.
Well, it should be if you have somebody who cares about their legacy, which I thought Peter Angelos would. How he would be viewed, how history would view him and his contributions to Baltimore. And I've said it before, he's done a lot for the community. He's done a lot to contribute to churches and civic causes and whatnot, but that's been overshadowed by the massive failures of his baseball team to put a consistent, good product on the field. They have a great product right
Well,
now,
I mean,
man. I'm
for
all
me,
in.
like Dennis, I'm the other direction with this because I'm in the process. People call me a man of letters. I'm hoping to back that up in 25 years into this. I'm inking some letters to Steve Bisciotti and to Eric DaCosta and to John Harbaugh about press conferences and integrity and telling the truth and holdouts and hold-ins and corporate nature and lawyers down the hallway. Like everything that the Orioles have represented being owned by that kind of guy, that the way it's rubbed off on every aspect of the organization, how they've treated Cal Ripken, how they treated Brooks Robinson for long stretches of his life, how they've treated me, how they've treated people, how they've treated alumni. And, you know, both of these teams just got over $500 million for breathing the air. You know what I mean? Literally, just for breathing the air. They just got $600 million. And the guy born on third that thinks he had a triple isn't even ready to accept the check because he wants to check in to see how much more he can bleed out of it, how
Absolutely.
much better he can make it for him.
He understands. The longer he holds out, the better the deal gets. The sweeter the deal gets, man. He's turtled right now. That for all by all accounts, he's just waiting for the governor to make the next move. And look, why not?
When you got armed guards at the front door and you got
Look,
$1 billion in the bank and you just don't care. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't care about your
the
legacy. You're just never, you don't have the ability to get in front of it. John Angelos doesn't have the ability to get in front of this. And I think I've told you this. Sid Thrift, did I ever tell you the Sid Thrift story?
Probably, but refresh my memory.
Spring training, 98. I guess it was 98. It had to be 98 because Gillick was gone. So it was 98, 99, spring training. We went down to do our show, which we did. We opened the gates, literally 5:30 in the morning. It was cold, Fort Lauderdale, late February. You know, it was 55 degrees with a sweatshirt on, and we're there early in the morning. And a couple of observations, because Eddie Murray's big this weekend. Okay, Eddie Murray was Rasig told the story on the air while you were gone. You can go listen to this. Rasig came out and did the crab cake tour at Coco's. We were down in Lauraville doing that, and 2 weeks ago, and Rasig told the story of a cartoon he drew of Eddie Murray. And when Ken Rosenthal went into the locker room, Eddie Murray went after Ken, little Ken, 5'2" Ken, to intimidate Ken. Intimidation of media has been going on a long time about something Rasig drew in a cartoon because, like, Rasig didn't have to go in the locker room and look at Eddie, right? So we were talking about my press pass and what I can write about John Harbaugh now that I don't have to go see him, now that they'll ban me from seeing him. So it's fascinating all these years later. So Eddie had this, you know, you grew, Eddie had an awful reputation because he didn't talk to the media. Now,
Well, Eddie
by
was the
every
best. He was the best Surly. He came across that way. Great
right,
player, but
it turns out he was shy. Right, like
okay.
as a human, like people that really know him. I mean, people that know him really, really well. And I've interacted with him when he came back in '96 and played here for a minute. Right, it hit the 500th home run late at night. I was there. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when that home run was hit. Right, there's nobody in the stadium. The only people were there waiting for Eddie. Right, I mean, he's a legend here. They're giving a bobblehead away. Thank you, Rofo. Love you. Fried chicken the other day on the Eastern Shore was delicious. Got it over in Queenstown. But the Eddie Murray thing. So here I am, 1999. He was out of baseball a minute at that time, and he was the it was the first week of spring training. Like, all Koufax would go to Dodger Town and bang the ball around, right? Like, literally, Whitey Ford would come throw BP with the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like, guys would come back to be a part of it, right?
Right.
Eddie's there. And he's taking kids who are number 87, 81, 64 out to the back fields with a cup of coffee at 6:15. And I think Flanagan may have been involved at that point in bringing Eddie sort of back into the fold because Flanagan loved me at that point in his life for sure. And I watched Eddie Murray as the sun was coming up at 6:15 in the morning, carrying a fungo bat to hit fungos to a bunch of A-ball, double-A ball prospects on a backfield. And I didn't need to ever talk. I still haven't talked to Eddie. I ran into him at a Super Bowl, took a picture with him in Miami one day, just said, "Hey, Eddie, I'm a fan. I'm an Aparicio. Take a picture." He smiled. But I've never spoken to Eddie Murray in any capacity that you would call
Really?
him. Never. And I'd love to, right? I love his mother, the Carrie Murray Nature Center, over in West Baltimore, your part of town. I had a friend that care took the birds and the animals and the reptiles there for children, just inside the city, inside the county. I think it's in the county, but near the city line, Windsor Mill area. So Eddie Murray, watching him do that. But in 1999, same era, because I know we were set up in the dugout. And when you're there 7 hours a day, 8 hours a day, you see stuff, you talk to people, you get to know people, you know, who want to be known. Right? People who want to be kind to you can be kind to you. Earl Weaver would show up, you know, it was just Earl Weaver would show up, sit down. Elrod was
Right.
always there hanging out, right? Messina's still on the team at that point, right? So we're there, and Sid John Angelos is there that morning, and he's been in and out of the family, in and out of running the place, in and out of, like, this is 1999, young, We're all young. It's last century. And he's out on the little cart, you know, the little golf cart going out to the outfield. And it was early in the morning. Like, there weren't a lot of people around. I think the water was – grass was being watered. It was early in the morning. He may have just come in on that plane, the private plane, because the planes would land in left field because it was a runway. It was an executive – that's why they loved playing in Fort Lauderdale. They could jet in and out of – they had a runway at the field, literally.
Okay.
Between Oakland Mills and Cypress Creek in Fort Lauderdale, right off 95. It's now where Messi plays. It's now where the soccer stadium is, where the old Fort Lauderdale Yankee Stadium was. And John's out, and Sid's running the team. And Sid loved me. And Sid always – Sid, you remember Sid Thrift?
I do.
He wrote a book, World According to Sid. I still have it online.
Didn't read the book, but I remember Sid Thrift. He was a colorful man, from what I recall.
Let me tell you, Dennis. Did I tell you about the time I discovered Barry Bonds? Did I tell you about the time I discovered –
Yeah.
And let me tell you, back with the Pirates – Doug Drayback, Bobby Bonilla. This is my legacy, Dennis.
There you go.
So Sid loved me, right? And Sid would come over and sit and do 2 hours of radio with me over at the Double Tree right on Cypress Creek and sit and talk. I have pictures of all of this, right? Frank Perdue would stop by and say hello. I had Frank Perdue on the show, for sure.
There you go.
So Sid comes over to me. We asked John Angelos if he wanted to come over and do the show, and he just waved. He just said, you know, just gave a papal wave. Didn't come over and say, hi, I'm John, you're Nestor. Thanks for coming down and broadcasting. What are you guys doing here? What do you think of the team? Hey, you're in Aparicio. You're from Dundalk. Really? I went to Gilman. Oh, yeah. Nothing. Zero. Nothing.
Zero. Right.
I've never really met Johnny, and John Angelos has never spoken to me. He's been here 30 years, never spoken to me. Okay. So, literally never spoken to me. And that was my offer. It was the only time I offered. And I went to Sid, and I'm like, Sid, I've been here 8 years. I own a effing radio station at this time. It's 1999. I'm here. My staff is here. It cost me 10 grand to bring everybody down, right? We're here. We're not sunning ourselves. We're here freezing our ass off with parkas, and your team fell apart last year, and you just signed Albert Bell, who's in there eating yogurt, snarling at media members, which is what he did. Ask anybody that was in there. Erickson's making special milkshakes. It was 1999. Chicks dug the long ball, Dan. So it was little Sammy Sosa and Mark
nice.
McGuire. Are you with me?
You getting
what I'm getting at 99?
Protein shakes.
They didn't love reporters after Andro steamed Ione, you know?
Supplements.
So, yeah, they were just milkshakes. They got them at the GNC.
Right.
So.
Performance-enhancing supplements. There you go.
So I said to Sid, hey, Sid, what's up with John Angelos? And he said to me, Nestor, he's a nice young man. He's well-intentioned, but he's an introvert. He's an introvert.
There you go.
So that's – he's an introvert. That's what I got from John.
Okay.
So, and I, after I hear that 25 years later, I don't want to scare an introvert.
So you have John Angelos as an introvert. You have Eddie Murray as an introvert. And quite as it's kept, I'm an introvert too. And I've gotten better through the years, but I tend to listen a lot more than what I talk. Unless I get to know you, then I can talk your ear off. But I get that, especially when you're younger.
Well, the team's doing well. Lots of people are going to be at the ballpark this weekend.
Yes, they
They're
are.
Winning. They deserve all of this. The players deserve all this, but there's no lease, and I'm not going to let that go. And you know, part of it is nobody's talking about it, and other than Wes Moore's people in Annapolis saying, "What are you guys doing?" So we need to talk about that as much as the winning, which is important. Watching them play every day, I had a great text, and I'm not going to out this person because he's an executive in town, and we're talking about some business. He texts me late into the night on Wednesday night that he's going to the game this weekend. Okay. And he said to me, we were just doing a little baseball back and forth. I said, tough few days in Philly. I told him stay cool at the ballpark because he's going down 97 degrees, right? He said, bullpen has been disappointing. I guess you can't win them all. The fact that we expect them to win is major progress.
It is. It is. We expect them to win, and we're disappointed as hell as we when they lose. And now we're picking them apart. We're questioning the manager. We're questioning the players.
Oh my God! The manager's an idiot.
Oh, it's great.
This general manager's not getting Ohtani this weekend. Like, I don't know where this is going. And I tell you what, as a journalist, as a fan, it's a fun wave for me to ride right now and going through all of my stuff. And this is my 25th anniversary this week.
Yep.
So I am really spiking the ball on people like you that have supported what we've done. And I've come up with, I know you find this hard to believe, Dennis, but I've come up with a gimmick. It's like my first ever gimmick. It's taken me all these years to come up with a gimmick.
Okay.
But we're going to be at Costas next week, all right? Next Thursday, and then on Friday, we're going to be at Drug City. I'm only taking this stuff to Costas because there's really nowhere to put it in Drug City because of where we're broadcasting up top. If you're coming into Drug City to see me on Friday, you have to ask for the speakeasy up top.
Gotcha.
It's above the fountain, but just ask for us. There'll be signs. So we're there 11 to 4. I'm bringing friends in.
This is the August 3rd, right?
August 3rd is our 25th anniversary.
So got it.
August 3rd of 1998, we went into business. It was the first day we opened business. So I'm doing 10 hours of radio for people to stop by, say hello, have a crab cake. I have Al from Fenwick Bakery bringing over peach cake
nice.
To Costas. So,
you know, I might have to stop by Thursday. My goodness, I might have to move things around and be there Thursday.
Here's the other thing I'm going to do. I'm going to call my friends at Wise Markets because we have several locations in Dundalk. I have in my possession, and I didn't want to tell you about this because I wasn't sure when you're coming back from Greece or whatever. I got one of those gold watermelons, and I got it from the old fellow on the corner outside
gotcha.
Of Easton.
Gotcha.
So I want to see if Wise can get me some gold because I'd love to serve gold watermelon and peach cake on my 25th
Listen.
Anniversary because I want the best things for my people. People
I'm there. I'm there. Crab cake for lunch, peach cake, and some golden melon. Sound perfect.
So I'm there 11.
Perfect lunch for me.
Right. I'm there 11 to 4. The peach cake's coming
okay.
around at 2. Al's coming at 2. So I'm going to talk about my favorite things in life, but I'm giving everything. And you've been to the radio station 1,000 times, Dan.
Yep.
I cleaned everything up around the 4th of July. My wife went out of town and I found every leftover shirt, every leftover bumper sticker, every leftover newsletter. So I want to show, can I do a little show and tell? Do you got a minute to do some show and tell?
I got as much time as you need. Absolutely.
So we're giving away scratch offs in the Maryland Lottery, of course. Leonard Raskin has provided just one of these. I'm going to crack the ceremonial crab because I'm going to eat crabs after. I've just decided, like, it's Thursday afternoon. We're going to hang out. It's August 3rd. Okay.
I love that mallet, by the way, not to interrupt you, but I love the fact you have
it's
a
patented.
Bottle.
It's
I love
patented.
I love the bottle opener. That's amazing. That's what a great twist on that.
Conceptually. I mean, well, Leonard always likes the best things. So, by the way, the Orioles don't play on the 3rd. Thursday, they're off, right?
Okay.
So, no, excuse me. They play 3 o'clock that day. So, they'll be on, excuse me, the 3 to 6, they're playing the Blue Jays. So, the end of the show, there'll be a game on, whatever. We're going to crack some crabs, like all that. So, here's what I have to give away, all right? So, first off, I have old invitations. This is our 10th anniversary party, 8808, with Brian Billick down at the now departed Sports Legend. I still have some tickets left. If anybody has a man cave and wants I'm petered out bumper stickers. I have some of these. I have old nasty newsletters from the 90s. Were you? I don't know when you came into my life, Dennis, but the old nasty newsletter was what we did to
Getting
promote.
Close.
This was the original website when we didn't have a website. All right.
Getting close to a decade. How about that? We're bumping up against that.
All right. So these are old nasty. This is the old nasty van. You see that
yes,
right there?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's Lawrence Taylor and Buddy Ryan and the TV show I did. And here's some old pictures of my world sitting up in Section 513. Let's see here. Here's William Donald Schaefer and John Moog sitting out at the barn and telling me how the team got here. There's Peter Boulware and Ray Lewis at the barn. So this was here. David Modell and Art Modell, who never would have taken my press pass because they weren't jerks. There's the construction of the stadium right there.
Okay.
So the hard hats down on the site. So I have all of this stuff to give away. And then most importantly, I have what's left of the remnants of the Get Nasty T-shirts from the 90s.
Go.
Did you ever have any of these?
I did. Absolutely did.
Okay. So this is the original radio station, 1360 and 1330. This is before, this is after I cut the ponytail. You can see the ponytail's missing there. So this is like going through the eras of everything we did here. So this is this was our 7th anniversary, Station with Balls, Nasty 1570 Sports. These are all the Get Nasties. Some people have asked about these to put them in their basement. This was the Nasty Nationwide shirt. I have some of these left. I have more of those than probably any of the rest. And then I have this was a fun one here. This was before we had the radio station. This is 1360. And this was sort of our fun little font from Brady Bunch there. And I also have – this is a really good one. These were the shirts from Whiskey Joe's. These were the ladies' shirts that Stacy Keibler and the girls wore. This is the only one I have left.
Nasty girl.
Yeah, this is it. This is the this is from Whiskey Joe's. And then I have some random Free the Bird shirts here. I have some this is the only one of a kind. We used to do trips. This was our 2002 Pittsburgh Repeatimus Maximus. And I love the Brian Billick quote at the bottom. I've never lost in Pittsburgh.
I've never lost in Pittsburgh.
And that was a Get Nasty shirt. I think Hennessy did these up. I also found some autographed Joe Flacco and Ray Lewis stuff that I have. This is the Foo Fighters. I even found some old mustaches that I want to get. So we have all of these things. I mean, old. Can you see this one?
Yeah.
I still look sort of the same as I did in 1996.
You do.
Right?
You've aged very well, like a fine wine.
So we'll be the third at Costas, the fourth at Drug City, giving stuff away, having friends like you by. My old newspaper editor from the Sun's going to come by and break balls. And let's see here. John Maroon's coming. Andy Mueller, my old producer. Rodney from Dangerously Delicious Pies. Max Weiss was coming, but it's like a deadline. She can't. I did not win Best of Baltimore this year in Baltimore Magazine. I implored her to not ever let me win, because if I win, I'd stop bitching. And it's more fun to have her on and yell about not winning than actually winning. Oh, I got a confirmation. If you're coming on Thursday after 2 o'clock.
I'm not going to be there after 2 o'clock, but I'll be there. I'll be there around noon. I've got a commitment in that afternoon, but I'll be there at noon.
Well, you know, I video this. The legendary Calvin Statham, who was my chorus teacher in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and My Fair Lady, who came out and was a part of the show. He'll be out that day. I'm trying to coerce John Allen to come back to Dundalk and talk about Child's Play and open it up for kicks. So I Johnny O's coming by, Drug City on Friday. So I have like a lot of different people coming by. We're going to celebrate. I'm going to give stuff away. We're going to eat peach cake, eat crab cakes, and drink milkshakes, big boy milkshakes, maybe have a snowball at Drug City. So it's going to be Baltimore Dundalk 25 years, and a big thank you and a celebration to you and everybody that supported all the crap we do.
All right. So Costas and noon
Thursday.
I'll be there. Hey, quick question for you. You think you can get Resig to draw a caricature of me? I would love that. I've been a Resig fan for decades.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, Resig.
I'd pay him. I mean, it's just, I love the guy. Is he still active? Is he still working?
Resig was out drinking beer with me last 4 days ago. He's one of my best friends in the world.
I didn't know that.
Resig is one of my.
I loved his cartoons, but back in the day, you know, we didn't have what we have now, right? Well, you had the News American, the Baltimore Sun, and wasn't he with the News American?
He was. And Sports First before that. I want to tell you something about Resig, because this will tell you a little bit about his soul, because I'm getting older, and at some point, you know.
How old is he now, by the way? How old is Resig these days?
60-something. I think he might be late 60-something. Gotcha. So he's got grandkids now, twins, like all. See, he came, he did the show. He's been on the air. You've been in Greece. You didn't
I've
know.
Been in Greece, man.
Resig,
I've been out. I've been off the grid.
Been on this radio station I've for an hour and a half with Dave Shinen. It was one of the greatest.
I've got to go back and listen.
Oh, man, I'm doing the greatest radio right now. I've got to go back and listen. Awesome people. I had Gina Schock on over at the Beaumont while you were gone, where you couldn't come by. Ray Bachman turned his knee, or he would have been by, and I got to go find him. Kenny Albert's got a book coming out. He's coming on next week. So 25th anniversary brings out, like, the best in me. But here's the thing about Resig. I want to, because I would never say this to him. Well, maybe I would, but because it'd probably make me cry if I said it to him. So I'm 15 years old, and I'm working in the News American. And I probably was just doing my first rock and roll piece, Aerosmith or Rush, that summer, interviewing Geddy Lee. And I'd written a piece on Warren Spahn, and I'd written a piece on Enos Slaughter for Sports First. The first bylines, Teresa Andrews, first bylines I ever had is summer 1984. My son was born September 22nd, 1984. All right. So if you think about where I was in June, July, and August, I'm 15 years old working at the paper with a pregnant girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Resig was the one guy in the building that when I told him I had a pregnant girlfriend, he didn't shame me, because there's a lot of shame going on at that point, right?
Back then, like, sure.
Oh
sure.
My God! Like, people
in the
just
80s, yeah, early 80s, early
God,
to mid 80s, yeah, that wasn't the thing.
Ran
back then.
From me, and
it
like,
wasn't the thing back
it
then.
It was a scarlet letter. I promise you,
100%.
And that's okay. My son's beautiful. He's 39. He's a good,
he's a great
know,
guy.
He's almost 40. He's the best. So
next year.
It's all good, but Resig was the one person in my life at that time. That's how long I've known Resig, who was always interested in and enthusiastic about me being a parent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And all these years later.
Yeah, speaks volumes to his character and as a person who he is.
And by the way, I know it's not always cool. Say out loud what the shirt says.
Get nasty.
His son is the one who named me Nasty Nester.
Is
so
that right?
That is
how
fact.
Old was the son? How old was the son when he did that?
Well, it involved Eddie Murray.
Okay.
Playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers in the summer of 1989.
Okay.
It involved Todd Froworth pitching for the Phillies. It involved a game where Eddie Murray, I think, hit three home runs at the Vet, and I drove up on a Sunday, and I made a bet with Rasig that, and he played a lot of rotisserie baseball. I said, the Phillies were bringing pitchers in I never heard of. If you can name the pitchers that gave up the home runs, I'll babysit your kids. And his kids were... like, my kid was maybe 4, his kids were maybe 5 and 7.
Okay.
And this was a major assignment to take care of his 2 boys at 5 and 7 because they were rambunctious lads. Now they're great kids and artists and parents and lovely humans who are in their 40s. But he got Todd Froworth. Todd Froworth was the answer that made me. I did this in front of Bob Nussgaard, who's going to be here on Thursday, and Mike Marlowe, who I featured at on Facebook, who is very reclusive and shy and introverted. And I love him more than anyone else on earth. He was my boss at the paper, but he will never come on the radio. He will never come on, even though he would be the greatest guest of all time. He will never come on. It would make him quiver to come on. But they were all there. They witnessed it. And I babysat Rasig's kids on a Saturday night alone with my kid in their basement of their house over in Lauraville, right around the corner from Coco's. And I burnt the fried chicken on the grill. I left it on literally watching the baseball game. And they went out to dinner. And it was a big thing for them to get a babysitter. Like, and I was going to babysit their kids and my kid. And it was going to be fun. And Uncle Nestor was Uncle Buck is what I was supposed to be.
I got you.
So I burned the chicken on the grill and I sent the kids to bed early. It wasn't really early, but I made them get in a friggin' bathtub. I did things that the hard ass, I guess I was 25.
Okay.
And these kids are, no, I wasn't even 20. Dude, I was 20.
You're probably 20 years old. Yeah.
This is 1980. I was 21. I was 21. Right. 20, 21. I was 21 years old. And I'm babysitting these 3 kids and I'm trying to get them to bed. And they started calling me, instead of Uncle Nestor, they started calling me Nasty Nestor because I sent them to bed early. That's how I got my nickname.
That's a crazy story. Never knew that.
And they always called me Nasty Nestor. And I went on the air in 1992 and now they were 8 or 9 or 10
right.
years old. And I was trying to come up with something that made it alliterative, and the Janet Jackson song "Nasty Nasty Boys" was a great song at that
sure
time.
Was. Everything was
I
nasty
used
at
it,
that point.
So it's like it, Nestor's
it
such
stuck.
A weird. I hated saying my name on an answering
stuck.
Machine. You know.
You know, we came over from Greece in 1973 with my dad and I. He was a printer by trade. He got a job at Nestor Graphics in downtown Baltimore.
Nestor.
Nestor. The owner was a Greek man. His name was Nestoras. Nestoras. So he dropped the AS, and it was Nestor Graphics. It was a printing company. So there's my tie-in with Nestor.
Nestor's the Greek god of wisdom.
Yes, he was. Nestoras. He was a wise man. A wise guy like you.
See if Steve Bisciotti and John Angelos think I'm wise by the end of the summer. We'll see.
We'll see how that plays out. Nestor, it's always fun having you on, man.
I'll let you use my mallet over Costas. Come on.
I need a mallet like that. I need a set of 4.
Dennis, this is a big week, man. 25 years of doing this,
paying
every bill.
It's wonderful.
And, you know,
it's wonderful.
I see Rob Long on the television every night, and I see all of my former employees at press conferences now that I'm locked out of. Some spiking of the ball will be spiked. And we're taking the crab cake tour on the road. I'm at Pappas later this month. I am ready. I am excited for a pennant race. I've waited my whole life for this.
You know what I have? I have gratefulness. I really do. I know you do too. We're at an age where, you know what? You appreciate your time on earth. You value your time with your loved ones, with your friends, with people that are good to you. And you have goodness in your life and you put out good vibrations. Guess what? Good vibrations come right back to you.
Every room I'm in is a room that they want me there and I want to be there.
That's
and if
right.
that's not where it is, if I need to use the fountain out back or sit in the back of the bus or be treated.
Wrong room.
And
wrong room.
So,
that's all.
So that's not
all
my
good.
Room. And anybody that's
good.
Ever known me knows that's not the way I operate. It's not the foundation of Baltimore Positive or WNST or even Nasty Nestor, despite what you might read on the Wikipedia
That's
page.
Right.
You know.
Positiveness here on 1570 AM WNST, celebrating 25 years, August 3rd. I'll be there at Costa.
Come get a shirt. Come get a hat.
I'll be there at noon. I'm gonna get a crab cake, some golden melon. I may hang out for that peach cake. I don't know. Are you sure it's 2 o'clock?
Listen, Al's a baker, okay? So like,
you know,
Al,
what I mean? Al, I know you're listening. I know
you think you
in.
Get out of bed early in the morning. Al's
Al,
listening to the 4 a.m. broadcast.
Al, I need Al to get me that peach cake by 1 o'clock. Help me out a little bit. I may hang out though. I may hang
you
out.
You know
we'll
what
see.
I'm gonna do? Here's what I'm gonna do. Okay, hang on. I got to get fresh lottery tickets because, like, I'm, like, down to the last, like, little batch. So Roz is getting me fresh lottery tickets. So I have to go down to Montgomery Park. So here's what I'm going to do. Thursday morning, you and I are going to do our thing, right?
Yep.
And your show's going to be on 3 o'clock during the Oriole game where we're going to be sitting at Casas, all that. I'm going to stop and make sure that I hook up with Al ahead of time because I don't want to promise peach cake to people not have it. So I'll stop by and pick up some peach
Man,
cake.
Man, you're too much.
And bring it over at
you're
11
too much.
a.m.
You're too much.
So we'll have a table for the hats, a table for the shirts, a table for the peach cake, listen. Right? A table for the watermelon. I'll get Pete and Nick to cut up some watermelon over there, Mr. Costas, and we'll figure it out. All right.
Look, I started my diet yesterday, but Thursday.
Watermelon's okay.
I want to make the exception Thursday. Crab cake isn't bad for you. The peach cake, there's a fruit on it. There's some fruit, right? There's a lot of fruit, and I love peaches. So you're getting two different types of peach cake or one? Because I saw your blurb about
I'm just I'm with Fenwick right now,
Fenwick,
but I mean you're
okay.
Certainly welcome to go to Woodley or Simon's,
okay,
and if they want to bring some peach cake over, I'll eat it and love them all.
All right,
I mean,
all right.
I just tend to
plan.
Go to Fenwick a little bit more because it's closer to like where I am, and
gotcha.
And honestly, I prefer it, but I love them all.
Slap. Sounds like a plan.
See you soon.
You got it. There he goes, Nestor J. Appreciate here talking peach cake, also celebrating 25 years here at WNST 1570 AM. Baltimore Positive. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.